on Melbourne's home of sport. This is Waitley. Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. The Doncaster BMW annual demonstrator event is on now.
Among the key changes in the off-season through the AFL has been the chief executive position at Melbourne. Peter Jackson restored the club, and now Gary Peart has been appointed to see it to its full fruition. And it's my great pleasure to have Gary join me in the 1116 SEN studio. Gary Peart, welcome.
Thanks, Jared.
How have you gone slotting back into the chief executive's role at a footy club?
Oh, look, it's been great. I've been there a couple of months now and feel like I've been there a year. It's been pretty easy to slot back in. It's a good club in a good place and, you know, lots of energy and, you know, it's been great.
Why did you want to get back into the role?
It was funny, as I wasn't planning to get back into footy. And when I was contacted to say, would I go and have a chat to Glenn Bartlett, I did it as much out of courtesy, and I know Glenn. But when I started chatting to him, he did get me excited about where the club's at, not only on field, but also the whole redevelopment, commercially where the club's at and where it needs to grow to. And you know, I literally left each meeting going, that's exciting. It's what I do, and ultimately decided to get back into it.
So it's, you won't be oblivious to the commentary around it. There was a succession path, and then you're the disruption to that path, as you would have become aware of that. Did you have to decide, yep, I'm happy to come from the outside and be that figure?
Look, in a lot of ways, I was oblivious to it because I was based up in Noosa at the time, so I wasn't engaged in a lot of the discussions around succession plans, and it wasn't until I got the role that started hitting the media a little bit. But really, that it wasn't significant. I sat down with the individuals within the club that had plans in their future to end up in these more senior roles. And they're all really great executives that I'll be working with over the next few years. And they've really got great futures. And, you know, so none of them hasn't been a problem. And we just slotted into things very, very quickly.
Was that one of the keys to make sure that people didn't feel they needed to leave to advance?
Oh, it's important because if they did need to leave, you could have that conversation, but you're actually talking about individuals that I think all identified they've got a lot of growth still to go. I'm a new, different sort of CEO to Jacko, who did a fantastic job and started off their development, and now they can learn from someone else. And we've all slotted in really easily, and you know, it's working well.
You can't live another man's legacy. So what's the balance between knowing the path that Peter Jackson had put the club on and seeing that journey through, and then doing what you believe in and creating your own vision?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, I think when we look back at the last 5 years, we see that it was about creating stability. It was about creating financial strength in the club and rebuilding the list. And Jacko did a great job at that. And I know Roosie come in and played a role. The board has been so impressive, from Glenn Bartlett, but all the way through the board. They had a clear plan. It was certainly something that I could see that they needed to create that stability. But now we're in a phase where we need to grow. And that's what I got excited about. That's what I do. That's what I want to be driving for the next 5 years or so.
Were you aware of any resistance from, what is it said, influential supporter groups and the like towards you taking the role?
Well, I wasn't aware, but I'm also not concerned or interested in any sort of small group. What I am interested is about re-engaging the whole club. And I think you touched on before that it has been a tough period for the club. And there's been so many people that have either disengaged, whether they've been members or people around the club. And what I want to do is part of that, and we've already started the ball rolling, is re-engage those people. There's 10,000 members that over the last 5 or 6 years, and I've heard plenty of war stories, and a lot of them have these important people around the club need to come back, and this is a great time to do it. So anyone that's around the club that's got views, I would just encourage everyone to go. It's a great time. Jump back on board, be part of it, and share in the excitement.
You would have had a great chance in September to observe, knowing that you would take it on, but not during that period. So Melbourne were the most intoxicating part of September, the run to, and then those couple of weeks winning games, the setup to the preliminary final, which was enormous. What did you learn about the core of what Melbourne is?
Well, I learned a lot about the program and also the club. And I could just see this club starting to re-energise again and get behind the players on field. And they certainly did their bit. And so it's such a young list. And to see those players that, to me, it looked like each time they played a final, it, in the same way they surprised the footy world, they were nearly surprising themselves. Not only how well they're playing, but the style of football. And that's, I thought, the most exciting thing out of the finals was the way they were going about it, the style of football, because it is a style of football that will hold up in the finals and win finals games, which is very different from a style that just gets you through the home and away season.
What's the caution of a young group on the rise?
I think that there's a lot of excitement that's come out of last year, and in the media, you know, they're certainly talking up the list, which is great because this is a club that's about restoring respect in the industry, and I think the club's certainly going down that path. At the same time, I think we can look at next year and go, there's probably 12 to 14 clubs that could very realistically be looking at going, we should be playing in the finals, and we're one of those clubs. So we all start very soon on no wins. We've got a really challenging fixture because we finished in the top four, but it's a great fixture because I've counted there could be 10 to 12 big blockbuster games. We play at the MCG. We're going to be playing against the Richmonds and the Collingwoods twice in front of big crowds. It's going to be a test, but that's great preparation for this young group if we want to be playing in finals over the next few years.
What were your early impressions of Simon Goodwin?
I think my first catch-up with him, I walked away so impressed. You know, this was a leader of the club more than just the player group. This is someone that understands the influence that he has in a broader sense, and as a leader and as an ambassador, you literally, as a CEO, you couldn't ask for anything more in your coach. And when I talk to the players, and I've spent this morning with the new recruits that have just come in and they're going through their induction, and they've had the same experience. Just in the one or two contacts they've had with Goody, they're just so excited to be part of the program that's been put together. And Goody's got that way of really drawing you in and getting excited about what's happening. So I couldn't be more impressed. And I've got to say, Josh Marnie, in running the whole program, the combination of those two is very, very good.
So he's a vital figure, Josh Marnie, as you've just identified there. And he was one who was spoken about as being a potential chief executive. Did you sit down with him and thrash through that to make sure that you were both comfortable?
Oh, look, I don't think we thrashed through it. We sat down, had a beer and had a bit of a chat about it. And really it was about identifying that he is a great leader and he's got so much to offer. And but he also acknowledges in the broader commercial side of the business, he's still got some experience to be part of. And so in Josh's new role, he's actually overseeing our whole Casey program, the whole commercial stakeholder management, contracting. You know, that's going to be a great experience for him. But as a leader, he's in great shape and really excited about where things are at. Keeping in mind, Josh was there when Roosie came on board, rolling into Simon. So he's been the one that culturally has been a constant as this program has been developing.
So would you expect to learn from him over the first stages of it?
Yes, is you know, we've got a very clear plan about what his development looks like, where he wants to be over a period of time. And this is just, you know, what I love about this game is just so many people like Josh that have got so much potential, so much energy and enthusiasm. And you know, he's going to play a bigger role down the track. It just, that'll fall into place as it happens.
So there are 18 chief executives. It's all chief executive of a footy club. I expect that every role is different because each club's character is different. What sets Melbourne apart from Collingwood, your previous experience?
Well, they're very different in terms of the type of club, but also where they've historically come from in recent times. But what sets Melbourne apart is I think that where Melbourne's at right at the moment and the role that I want to play is I don't want Melbourne to be more like any other club. I want Melbourne to be more like Melbourne. It's a great club. It's got a great history. But we need to re-engage the people. Even the MCC, we've got 22,000 MCC members who are Melbourne supporters coming to the games, watching, and only half of them actually connect and become Melbourne members. I'd love to get that entire group connected to the club. Bring back those people that have been disappointed over recent times. And a big part of that is one of the main reasons I took the role is we need to build elite facilities. We're the only club. We're at the bottom of the ladder in terms of facilities as a national competition. We're spread out in four different locations over the MCG as an administration. Footy's over in Amy Stadium. We're completely separated. We need to be building a facility where all the club can get together, but also create a meeting place for our supporters and members before and after games. You know, that's what great clubs are about. And so that's really where my focus is.
Have you got a proposal in mind?
We've got three or four options that we're working through. Because of the nature of where we're looking, there's lots of stakeholders, whether it's the MCC, the state government, the AFL, MOPT. We couldn't have picked a more sensitive area of Australia to be looking to explore these options. So that's what they are, and it's probably been out in the media a little bit that things are a bit further down the track than what's being said. We're engaging the stakeholders. We need to be flexible, but we're pretty clear what we need as a club as an end result.
So is Yarra Park a legitimate possibility for you?
But it's one of the possibilities. Yeah. And like I was touching on, because you've got so many stakeholders, you need to engage, you need to take the feedback. So that's where we're at. We're doing more listening now as we piece together our ideas and plans than we are sitting down going, this is what we want to do. Can we do it, yes or no? So, you know, these things are going to play out over the next couple of years, I'd say. Yeah. But we're really wanting it to happen as soon as possible.
So in an ideal world, when is that? When would you like to be in your proper home?
Well, as a club, we're ready to activate that now because we really need those facilities. And like I said, it's something that I think is a limiting factor to the club. But it won't happen until we get all the stakeholders engaged. We get the right proposal that works for everyone. We're needing to be quite flexible in that to work with the stakeholders. So it'll happen as quickly as it can.
Gary Peart, the Chief Executive of the Melbourne Footy Club here on 1116 SEN. It struck me, Gary, that you might have some empathy with James Sutherland during this period of time as you live a long time in a job, you bring it to a close, there's a review done and a lot of your work seems to get torn down. Did you take any offence at any stage at Collingwood as to how much change and maybe how some of it was sheeted home to your leadership at the time?
Not really, because when I started at Collingwood, I put in place a lot of changes, and that's the prerogative of the CEO, that when leaders change, they've got that option. So I had a great time at Collingwood. I really enjoyed it. Collingwood, by its nature, is high profile. It's a roller coaster. It's, you know, everything's being scrutinised the whole way along. But, you know, they got to a time where I was the one that started the discussions to go, there should be a review where things are at now. And, you know, I had those conversations with the board. And as part of that, I said the time is to bring in a new leader. And it wasn't about handing over. It was to say, you come in and actually make the changes you want to take. So I don't take any offence. I don't have an opinion on what they do or don't do. You know, I'm one of these people that moves very quickly into the next role then that I'm focused on.
Was there anything for you to learn out of what happened, what they found and what they implemented?
Not really, because I'm in a lot of ways I'm not across what has taken place or hasn't taken place there. I think you're always learning and evolving as a leader. I would say I've probably learnt more since I've been at Melbourne about what's required there rather than spending a lot of time looking back and sort of scenarios that I'm not even involved in.
And how did you feel as Collingwood went on and had such a successful season?
Well, it was something, like I said, because I was in a state, but, you know, it got to a point when I'd accepted the Melbourne role. The reality is you go from, you know, not supporting Melbourne to 100% supporting it. It's the only way you can do it. As a CEO, a player, a coach, you throw so much into it. So all of a sudden I'm 100% over Melbourne and watching all their games with a whole different view. So you move away from, you know, I certainly wasn't following Collingwood. I must admit, when it got to the grand final, though, I did love the thought of seeing Bucks holding up the cup. And, you know, that was something. And to be quite honest, at certain stages of the game, I could see that. I could picture it. And being a mate of Bucks's and knowing what he's been through in recent times, I was so excited more to see that than anything else. And, you know, I couldn't help thinking back to the period of time where the plans around bringing Bucks in, and that was all about creating the next premiership team. And so many times I said to Bucks, you know, to see you up there holding the cup. So it was more about that than anything else.
Did you feel, so even though that didn't ultimately happen, that a lot of that work was vindicated as he showed himself to be a potentially great coach, but right now a very good coach?
Look, I've always said from day one, Bucks as a leader of men is, you know, he's exceptional. I think that he needed to come into the role, and it was a very difficult scenario when we remember back to the scenario that he came into, for him to be able to deal with that and then grow as a leader at the same time in a highly scrutinised role. It's probably the toughest in the industry, being the head coach. And he's evolved, and so has the list, and so has the whole program. And that sort of culminated, and I think we're seeing the starting point of that potential success with Bucks and the list that's there. You know, so I must admit, for his point of view, I was excited to see that.
And industry-wide, Gary, are the issues the same issues that you grappled with for 10 years when you sat in those meetings as the Collingwood chief executive, as you lobbed back in as the Melbourne chief executive?
Well, I recently sat in a CEO's conference, and there's certainly a lot of the same people and talking about similar conversations and issues for the game. There was a couple of times where I was thinking to myself, I haven't been away, and not much has happened in the meantime. But, you know, the big picture issues of the AFL quite often take years to work through. So I certainly feel like I've slotted back into things pretty quickly.
All right. So as we look towards 2019, what would you like for Melbourne in your first year in charge?
Oh, look, I think the expectations of the footy program and the players have got to set that. But, you know, they're certainly setting their sights on being involved in the finals for quite a long period of time. And I think that's got to be your starting point. And then, you know, with what we've done in our list management in the pre-season, bringing in key players for particular roles, you know, that's going to help us. But at the same time, every other team's going to be getting better as well. So on field, we need to be up there. We need to be one of the serious teams, you know, targeting to consistently play in the finals. And off the field, I think it's really important that this is our time and our opportunity to grow, get that re-engagement. And I'd say to all the Melbourne supporters, if there's been a reason over the last 10 years why you've stepped away from the club, watching what the players and the coaches are doing right now, there's never been a better time to come back on board, be part of it. You know, it is that whole thing about your heart beating true, and the people that I'm chatting to that were at the finals watching the game, watching Melbourne perform, that was something that, you know, they experienced emotions they haven't experienced for a long time. So I'd encourage everyone to come back on board.
Gary, great to have you here. Best of luck in the position, and I'm sure we'll talk for years to come.
Great. Thanks, mate.
Gary Peart is the chief executive of the Melbourne Football Club here at 11:16 SEN, 22 minutes past 11. Bob Murphy's up next.